it's much less what you do and much more that you do. Meaning people get so bogged down in the, well, should I be doing this workout or that workout? Should I be, if I'm going to the gym, should I be doing CrossFit or should I be doing cardio? Should I be doing yoga? Should I be doing this? It's like, I don't care what you choose as long as you move.
Hi, my name is Sarah Panous. I've spent the last 2 decades driving digital content for billion-dollar brands. Now I help content marketers build winning brand storytelling strategies and reduce feelings of overwhelm and confusion. Join me as we discuss strategy, creativity, confidence, and building a better connection with your audience. Think of this as a creative content marketing jam session mixed with chicken soup for the soul. This is the Marketing with Empathy podcast. Hey, hey, kindred speakers. From a health perspective, they say sitting is the new smoking. Sitting all day is really bad for our health. And I know everyone listening right now is really good at sitting at your desk and working all day, right? But if you're like me, you may not get up and move around often enough. So today we're speaking with an expert about how to maximize our workspace to allow us to be able to squeeze in more daily movement and exercise. Joining me to share his expertise is well-being expert Paul Levitin. Paul is a health and happiness coach, podcaster, and public speaker. His education and coaching company, the Healthy Happy Human Academy, helps busy parents eliminate self-sabotage so they can have unlimited energy, lose weight, and love the person they see in the mirror every day. He's also the host of the Healthy Happy Human podcast, which aims to educate, inspire, and help a million people live healthier, happier lives. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Sarah.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you on. Paul, when you and I first met in a Facebook podcasting group, I reached out to invite you here onto this show to talk with my audience about at-home exercises for desk workers. And everyone listening works at their desk. Because while the focus of Marketing with Empathy is around brand storytelling advice for marketers, we also talk about the personal advice for professionals to help us thrive in our careers and in our life. I describe like what we're going to talk about today as the, quote, chicken soup for the soul aspect of this show. Topics we all need to feel and do our best. So Paul, first, I would just tell us a little bit more about how you help people be healthier and happier.
Yeah, awesome. One, I think that this is a super important topic, so I'm very excited to be here today and talking to your audience. And a little bit about me, my background. So as you so graciously stated in the intro, I'm a health and happiness coach, but I started my career as a personal trainer, a strength coach, a corrective exercise specialist, a nutrition coach, basically working in gyms with what we in the industry would call general pop clients, gen pop, you know, regular, not athletes, just Sally from soccer practice and Steve from accounting, mm-hmm. and helping them lose weight, feel better, move better. And I worked for almost 10 years in the gym setting, you know, learning a lot about the body, learning a lot about the human organism. And then I got very interested in behavior change and the why behind the what, because as most people know, and anyone who knows marketing knows that marketing is just behavior change and how do we get someone to take an action? Why is it that everyone wants to be healthier and yet the world is not healthy, right? Why is it that everyone wants something that we have an answer for and yet we don't use the answer, we don't use the resources available to us? So that took me down the road of becoming a board-licensed wellness coach, which has a lot more to do with psychology and behavior change and how to help people make the decisions and take the actions that they need to take beyond just giving someone a workout. And I combine those two things, my expertise in actual the fitness realm and the nutrition realm, and actually knowing the X's and O's of how to help people change their body with the psychology of behavior change and human motivation and psychology and how to actually get people to do the work that they need to do. And that's why I created the Healthy Happy Human Academy, because to me, it's all about healthy and happy, right? I stepped away from the fitness world full time because to me, there's too much emphasis on specifically things like aesthetics and looking a certain way, you know, mm-hmm. losing weight to fit a certain size dress or having abs or a certain arms that look a certain way. When to me, there's a very good reason to exercise and to eat right and to be healthy. And it's because you get a better quality of life when you do that. It has nothing to do with looking a certain way. It has to do with being better having a better life, living better for your kids, for your nieces and nephews, for your significant others, for everyone that you affect in your life. So yeah, my mission is to just help people live a healthy, happy life through whatever means that I need to help them with.
It's so important and a really good delineation, because you're right. There is so many options and things available to us to live healthier, happier lives, but we don't always do them, which right. is a great segue into what we're talking about today, which is even just, you know, daily movement and how as, you know, professionals who may feel like we're chained to our desk, how do we like shift, you know, that mindset and actually think about things that are achievable and attainable for us? So as I mentioned in the intro, you know, health experts, we're all hearing it say, you know, sitting is the new smoking, yet we're sitting a lot still. So why is it that sitting all day is so bad for us?
Right. So there's two different reasons that we can talk about now that I'll just highlight really quickly. The first thing is simply because sitting is not moving. And it's really that simple. It's not that sitting is bad, it's that moving is good. And when we're sitting, we're not moving, right? And the human body, the human organism was made to move. We have evolved over hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years, to be elite movers and hunters and gatherers. And, you know, everything up until maybe a couple hundred years of human evolution has been, you had to work and move. And even just maybe say 100 years ago, really, it was the invention of the factory and eventually the office building that took that away from us, right? Even your great-great-grandparents probably moved a lot. They might have been a traveling salesperson. They might have been a farmer. They might have been something where they had to move daily. The ability to sit still for 8 hours a day is a largely modern invention that came along with, again, the office building, the factory, the corporation, and these things that are in the grand scheme of human existence, a speck of dirt in the ocean. You know, it's nothing in nothingness, you know? So the human body was created to move and we became elite movers, and now we just took that away. And it's a very simple binary of when we move more, we get healthy, and when we move less, we get sick. Right? When you move more, you lose weight, you get strong, you lose diseases, you have healthy lungs, you breathe better, your heart works better. When people who don't move, they gain weight, they lose muscle, their heart stops working, their breathing gets worse, and a million other things happen. So it's just a very simple correlation between the less we move, the less healthy we are, and the more we move, the more healthy we are. And if you're sitting at a desk for 6, 8, 12 hours a day, you're probably not moving in that time. So that's part one of why it's so bad. And then part two is because when people sit, they're largely sitting in not good positions. Meaning, again, just like how the human body was created to move, it was also created to maintain certain positions, right? Our spine has a certain shape. Our muscles are made to hold us in certain ways. And human chairs that are an invention, you know, by someone's brain, are not made to hold us the correct way. Or they try to, but they don't actually do the job that they set out to. So like ergonomic chairs, quote unquote, are made to feel comfortable. But often what feels comfortable and what is best for our body are not the best thing, right? Perfect example is exercise. Exercise does not feel comfortable, but it's good for our body. Eating a salad instead of an Oreo does not feel comfortable, but it's what's best for our body. So in the same vein, a lot of the chairs that we're sitting in and the way that we're positioning our body is not actually what's best for our body. Now, again, you're sitting for 8 hours a day in an in an unideal position, and this can lead to, this is the, you know, this is the rabbit hole of like why we suffer from so much back pain and neck pain and shoulder pain and aches and things like that. So that's a big part of it. But in reality, the main 90% of the issue is just that when you're sitting, you're not moving.
Got it. That's so interesting when you say that, even about ergonomic chairs, because I was like, oh, I would have thought like that those were good and they are better than other ones that aren't. But your whole point is just that we need to move. It's just a facet of how we're built and how we're made. It reminds me too. So I grew up on a farm, actually. My parents are farmers and were their whole life. And so every day they were very like always using their body, always going outside. And so my dad is in his 80s now and still relatively healthy. And right. I attribute it a lot to him just moving so much throughout his whole life.
100%.
Right? Well, okay. So then we know it's bad. We know why. We know we need to move. So then obviously with your behavior mentioned in the beginning, on understanding like the behaviors of what we do, I'd love to talk about tips then. Like mm-hmm. what can we do to like not be sedentary all day? Like what tips do you have to help us avoid being sedentary?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the stuff that people don't want to hear because I'm not going to tell you, well, just grab this one secret thing and then you'll do it. It's the non-sexy stuff that works. It's things like setting alarms throughout the day to get up and move, walk around your desk. It's things like taking the stairs instead of the elevator, parking farther away. All of these things are things that I would have 5 or 6 years ago told you, oh, that's crazy. You know, everyone talks about that. Just park farther away. Just, you know, just take the stairs instead of the elevator. And yet, those things, they seem so tiny that it's like, how could that even make a difference? But if you do that every day, right? If you go to work 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and it's like those little steps add up. Meaning people always think about, like I just said, set an alarm that says walk around the office, right? And you take a 2 minute lap around the office. If you did that 5 times per day, that's 10 minutes of walking. Now people will look at that and be like, well, what difference could 2 minutes of walking make? But it's the cumulative effect, right? Compound interest of small things will add up much quicker. So where people go, and this you kind of alluded to this before, what you said about the mindset. This is the real thing. And this is why I created my company, because I can give you the blueprint, right? People are like, oh, well, just tell me what workout to do. There's no one workout. Even if you go to the gym 3 days a week for an hour, that's 3 hours out of your week. If you're sitting 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, that's 40 hours. You're not combating that with three hour long workouts, right? So we need to inject small amounts of movement wherever we can, whenever we can. So taking the stairs when we can, parking farther away when we can, going for a walk. If you're on a call, if you're in an office, or especially if people have home offices, get one of those walking desks with the treadmill, right? Not standing desk, because standing desk is only like a millimeter above a sitting desk, because again, you're standing, but you're still not moving, right? So a lot of people, like, standing desks are all the rage right now, and they're better than sitting, but you're still not moving. The walking desks on the treadmill, those are amazing. Again, take your phone calls, right? You're doing a sales call, you're doing a whatever call, you're doing a conference call, take it on the road, walk around while you're doing it. Like, these things seem silly and they seem so easy, but the thing about easy stuff is that they're just as easy as it is to do, it's easy to not do. Right. So it's like, yeah, it's so easy to take 2 minutes to walk around, but who's doing that? Right. It's so easy to replace your standing desk with a treadmill desk if you work from home. But how many people have actually made that investment in themselves? And, you know, and also, you know, you could talk about things like stretching. We can talk about things like, but the point is, it's much less what you do and much more that you do. Meaning people get so bogged down in the, well, what should I be doing, this workout or that workout? Should I be, if I'm going to the gym, should I be doing CrossFit or should I be doing cardio? Should I be doing yoga? Should I be doing this? It's like, I don't care what you choose as long as you move, right? So it's, again, if you're in marketing, I'm sure if people who have this experience where people want the just tell me how to get the, you know, the big, land the big account, or tell me the trick to hack the algorithm, when we know in truth, it's probably just posting consistently, showing up as your brand, and just, you know, doing the right things over and over, and eventually that will cascade. So it's the same thing here, right? It's the boring standard principles, but just done consistently over time. And then it's the mindset shift to understand that this stuff does not happen overnight. If you've been sitting and not moving and gaining weight and dealing with low back issues for accumulation of 5, 10, 15, 20 years, that yes, just walking 5 minutes a day doesn't seem like a lot, and it's not going to change everything overnight. But if you did that for the next 2 or 3 years, I guarantee you'd be in a different spot. So it's the little things that add up over time. And I know, again, it's not sexy and it's not fun and it's not quick and it's not all the things that we want a solution to be, but it's the truth.
That is great. And it reminded me, as you were talking, I had read an article recently, and I don't remember where it was from, but it was the same thing of what you're talking about, which is small movements is better than even, you know, just like a few longer workouts at the gym. Like, if we do small movements consistently every day, it adds up to be more. So just like you just said, and that actually for me was a big kind of like, oh, like a light bulb mm-hmm. moment, because I've always thought, oh, you gotta, you know, put in 45 minutes to an hour and like to do the workout, which for me personally has always turned me off, lately has turned me off from working out, because I just didn't have that big chunks of time where I'm like, oh, I don't have that much time. Like, I'm gonna squeeze something shorter in, but like, I think it's a much more manageable way of looking at it, you know, in on the day to day, which is we don't need to do that. If you, like you're saying, if you have a couple of minutes, if you have 5 minutes walking around and getting that movement. So a follow-up question then for you on something you said to make this really tactical for people as well is, so one, that mindset of just like any movement throughout the day is great and you just want to have consistent movement. So you mentioned setting an alarm to like remind yourself to get away from your computer and get up and move. How often do you recommend, like, should that alarm go off throughout the day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is the more the better, right? Understand that you're right. Exactly what you just said is right, right? Okay, we don't need to have these structured 45-minute workouts, hour-long workouts. It can just be these little things. But we also have to be realistic, right? And you get out what you put in. So understand that if you want results, like changing the shape of your body and looking like an Instagram magazine model, that's not going to come from 2-minute workouts. But if you just want to be healthier, it will, right? So we have to be realistic with what we're asking for here. And the result is completely dose dependent. So that completely has to do with your personal situation. If you can get up every hour on the hour and do a 5-minute walk, you know, if you've ever heard of the Pomodoro technique, right, which is a technique to focus, where they say that your brain can only focus for so long at a time. So they recommend, you know, doing 40 minutes of concentrated work and then 15 to 20 minutes of rest to let your mind wander, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, do a Pomodoro, work for 40 minutes, work hard, get up, walk for 15 minutes. If you did that every hour for 8 hours, now again, I don't know where you work. Does your boss allow these type of things? So I can't say that that's, you know, what everyone should do, but the more the better. If you are on the phone all day and you did your entire day just walking on the phone on Zoom, I'm sure you would be healthier for it, you know? But again, it's you do what you can do when you can do it. So that's the whole thing about the workouts. I'm not saying that an hour structured workout is bad. If you have the time and the inclination and the opportunity to do it, then by all means, have at it. But my point is that don't paint yourself into a corner thinking that that's the only way to be healthier, right? The more flexible we can be, the more chance we have of adhering to this in the long term. So that's why with my clients, I don't give them a workout. The first question I ask is, what can you realistically, reasonably commit to? And what feels like you would still be doing it 6 months from now? Because if I just came in two guns blazing going, all right, we're going to get you on a 5-day-a-week workout plan, and you're going to do this leg day one day and this one day. And it's like, now I'm talking to a mom of three who works full time. And she's just like, what the hell are you even talking about? But if I say, hey, what feels good to you? What is something that you can commit to with a reasonable amount of assuredness that you know that you can do? And she says, well, I've always loved yoga and I know I feel better when I do yoga. So maybe if I did a yoga workout 2 or 3 times a week and that only takes me 20 minutes because I can do it on YouTube. I go, boom, beautiful. That's where we're starting then. And that's a great place to be for you because you're going to do it. So rather than trying to force feed ourselves this specific thing of like, oh, well, my friend lost 100 pounds doing CrossFit 5 days a week. So now I think I have to do CrossFit 5 days a week, but I don't have 5 days. I hate CrossFit and I don't want to do it. It's like I'm trying to force a round peg into a square hole. And mm-hmm. that is a recipe for disaster and a recipe for quitting. The name of the game is just, again, long-term consistency. So whatever I can do that gives me that long-term consistency helps. Now, going back, sorry, I went on a little tangent there, but going back to your original question, the more, the better, especially when it's something little like that. Because you think about, most people think about exercising like, oh, I need a rest day or something like that. Right? I work out 3 days a week and I rest 4 days a week, or I work out 4 days a week and I rest 3 days a week. But that's because they're doing higher intensity workout where your muscles need to recover. Mm-hmm. When we're just talking about movement, general movement, you should be moving every day, right? I don't take a rest day from movement. I might take a rest day from exercise, but we have to discern between exercise and movement. Movement is just moving your body, getting up off the couch, going for a walk, getting outside. There's no days where that shouldn't be happening in my life if I want to live a healthy life. Because again, going back to my point in the beginning, the human body was made to move. It wants to move. It will tell me, right? What happened when you sit for too long? It doesn't feel good. What happens after you get off of a plane for 6 hours and you've been mm-hmm. sitting in the same spot? What do you want to do?
Stiff.
You wanna, right. Yeah. It's just, it feels yucky. Your body is like, I do not like this. Even halfway through the flight, you probably want to stand up and walk around. Mm-hmm. Your body will tell you what it wants to do. And it's not sit still for 8 hours and watch Netflix. I can guarantee you that. So just whenever you can, do. And, you know, if again, whatever that looks like in your world, if that's twice a day for 5 minutes, then that's twice a day for 5 minutes. You start there, right? Don't listen to this and be like, oh my God, Paul said I need to work out every hour on the hour. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying if you can go for a walk, you know, after breakfast, after lunch, after dinner, it's probably a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Or even, you know, so many listening are still working from home. I know all the marketers that I work with, all my clients on the corporate side, they're all still home. That's not an excuse because we can still walk around our houses. We can still go up and down the stairs in our house. We can go outside for a walk, like you said, too. Are there any other ways to like maximize our workspaces to like help us get more daily movement and exercise in that you haven't mentioned already?
Well, I mean, no, like I said, I'm a huge fan of the treadmill desks. Mm-hmm. I've seen those literally change people's lives because, again, I had a client who was doing 8 hours a day at his desk and he just went to 4 hours of that walking on a treadmill and he lost like 50 pounds just from that and made no other changes.
Wow.
Because again, he went from not moving 8 hours a day to not moving 4 hours a day and moving four more. And that he's not running. He's just walking at a pace where he can be on his calls and do his emails. So you can literally change your life like that. There's all types of things. I mean, think about what can you do in a small area of space. If you're working from home, grab a yoga mat and YouTube, you know, YouTube University will teach you everything that you need to know. You can literally break it down by how much time you have. You want to take a 15-minute break, type in 15-minute yoga on YouTube and it will give you something. Again, going back to, I keep coming back to this point because it can't be overstated. It is not what you do. It is that you do. If you don't like yoga, if I'm sitting here talking about yoga and you're like, oh, I hate yoga, then do not listen to me about yoga. Go find something else. Like you said, the stairs are a great one. If you mm-hmm. if you set a timer and walked up and down the stairs for 10 minutes, I guarantee you, if you haven't done that in a long time, you wouldn't even make it to 10 minutes. You'd probably make it to like 3 minutes and you'd be like, whoa, this is way harder than I thought it was going to be. And then you go and then you do that for a week. And then the next week you go to 4 minutes and then you do that for a week. And the next week you go to 4.5 minutes and you keep doing that. And then after a year, you're at 10 minutes and you've lost 15 pounds and your legs are strong and your heart is healthier just from doing that. Something that is honestly so simple that you want to just sweep it under the rug. You go, there's no way just walking up the stairs in my house could be that much of a benefit. And yet the things that are the simplest are the things that we don't do. Right. And it's so easy to do. It's so easy not to do as well.
Okay, so then what if, you know, we're at our desks and I know you mentioned the treadmill desk better than a standing desk, so that's noted. But what if like I have a standing desk as an example, and I know a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. So if we have a standing desk, are there any like movements or things that we can do right from our desk? So like as we're on calls and maybe we're standing, like is there anything we can do stretch-wise or anything else that helps us that kind of think of like a 2-for-1 benefit?
Yeah, for sure. Well, one, the first thing I would practice with, and this is what I did practice when I was working at the gym with every single client and something I do practice myself every day and still encourage anyone who is listening or just anyone who is alive to practice, which is breath work, right? Again, going back to so simple, people are like, well, what's breath work? I breathe all the time. Our diaphragms, you know, I made the point earlier about why people sit wrong and how that leads to low back pain. A lot of that has to do with the fact that when we sit in certain positions, it changes the position of our pelvis. It changes the position of our diaphragm. Our diaphragm is the muscle of inhalation and exhalation, right? It controls our breathing to an extent. And for most people, our diaphragm is chronically weak. A lot of it comes from sitting in the wrong positions for so long. Not right now. I'm talking about since childhood, right? We've been sitting in desks since we were in kindergarten, you know? Mm-hmm. And now our diaphragm is weak and we can't really breathe. And you can also think about the fact that we're, you know, still in the midst of a global pandemic that affects breathing. And we can maybe think that breathing is very important. So diaphragmatic breathing and learning how to control your breath is a huge, huge place that we can start, because in general, that will strengthen our core. It'll make your core feel stronger, which will take pressure off of your low back, and it will just all around help you. So a good test that people can do, if anyone listening to this, you can just, when you're done, or pause this if you want, but go to a mirror and you can imagine yourself, Sarah, doing this if you can't see yourself right now, and just take the biggest, deepest breath that you can in through your nose, right? Just inhale all the air that you can, right? and then exhale. Now, next time you inhale, for those watching yourselves in a mirror, I want you to look at what happens at your shoulders and neck. Because most people, when they take that next big inhale, take as much air as you can in. What they're going to see is their shoulders come up towards their ears, like they're doing a shrug, right? And that's how most people breathe. And you'll see some people it's more than others. But for most people, especially if you're sitting at a desk all day, you're going to see your shoulders shoot up towards your ears. And what that tells me, if that's you, if you just tried this experiment and that did that, that means that your diaphragm is not helping when you breathe. And because your diaphragm isn't helping, your shoulders have to help you breathe. So that tells me two things. It tells me that your diaphragm can't do what it's supposed to do. And it tells me that since your diaphragm isn't doing what it's supposed to do, you have other, what they call secondary muscles helping. So all that is a long-winded way of saying that your diaphragm is weak. And because your diaphragm is weak, your shoulders are doing a lot more. And now we go into, well, why do people have neck pain? Why do people have back pain? Because their diaphragm can't do what it wants to do. And then their shoulders and their back have to do it instead. So all of that is to say that simply working on your breathing and learning diaphragmatic breathing, which is breathing into your belly, breathing into your sides, breathing into your ribs, and using forceful long exhales, right? So this, Sarah, you can do as well, right? If you just put your hand on your belly right now, on your bottom belly, like right where your belly button is.
Okay.
And just cough. Right. You felt how that tightened up?
Yep.
Right. So that is your diaphragm causing a contraction in your core. Right? So you can just, and you'll feel a contraction right there. So that's what happens when you breathe correctly. Your core activates. So now if you take a big breath in through your nose, as much air as you can, and then imagine that wherever you're looking at, imagine there's 1,000 birthday candles and try to blow out as hard and as long as you can, blow out all the birthday candles and keep blowing till there's no air left and keep blowing even when there's no air left at the end. And you'll feel when there's no air left, you'll feel your belly start to tighten up just like when you coughed.
Yeah.
Right. So that again is your core being controlled by your diaphragm. So we can do diaphragmatic breathing drills like that. And that is a great way to, I can do that sitting, I can do that standing. And you'll see if you did that for 5 minutes, your back would feel better. Your hips would feel better because your diaphragm and your core would be more aligned. And there's a whole science to it. But yeah, that's a great place to start, right? That I want to, again, on a little bit of a tangent, but I think it's very important because people overlook this stuff. They go, well, I want to strengthen my low back, right? Or strengthen my core, right? People hear that, say that a lot because their backs hurt from sitting. But it's like, it's not that the sitting, it's that the sitting is causing them to breathe improperly. And if they simply fixed how they were breathing, that would alleviate a lot of the discomfort that people are having. So I do that breathing that I just told you to do, inhale through your nose and exhale hard like you're blowing out of birthday candles. Mm-hmm. If I'm like sitting on a plane or in a long car ride and my back starts to feel funky, that's exactly what I do. I just... So my core activates and it takes away some of that pressure from my low back. And I'll do that for like 5 or 10 breaths. And all of a sudden my back doesn't hurt so much anymore.
What? This is amazing. I have never thought of breath work like to help alleviate back pain and that connection, but it makes sense as you're describing it. That is fascinating. What a wonderful tip. Thank you.
Right.
Oh, and, man.
You know, I actually have, I'm just thinking about this right now. I actually do have a like guided follow along with this type of breathing for anyone who wants that, just kind of goes through an assessment to see how your breathing is and like a follow along. It's like a 10-minute little video that I can send to any of your listeners. I'll send you a link for that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I'll put that into the show notes for people. Thank you. That sounds amazing. Okay. Well, I think that's a good spot for a quick commercial break. So stick around. Paul is going to share more tips with us after the break. Get ready to create a rockstar content team at your corporation. Today's episode of Marketing with Empathy is brought to you by my Brand Storytelling Academy. Brand Storytelling Academy is an intimate 5-month group training program designed to help internal B2C and nonprofit teams attract top funnel leads to drive bottom funnel results. For 1/3 of the cost to hire a person on the team or onboard a high-level storytelling strategist, up to 5 people on your team can be developing and accelerating their brand storytelling skills. Learn to humanize your brand to connect with your audience. Develop confidence in brand storytelling skills, frameworks, and strategic mindset needed to advance in your career and enjoy your job more. 7x new and repeat engagement through empathy plus data-driven storytelling. and improve your existing team's strategic skills without having to hire more people. Think of it like a college certification program for your team, but you get the knowledge a lot quicker, and your professor, me, has 20 years of hands-on experience in the field. In addition to hearing from me, I'll have guest experts join, and each week you'll also connect and learn from other brand marketing professionals in the group. Curious? Fill out the application at kindredspeak.com/apply to learn more, and I'll be in touch to discuss if it's a good fit for your organization. Go to kindredspeak.com/apply. Okay, Paul. So, question for you. Something that I personally struggle with is peeling myself away from my computer. Mm-hmm. I just get so engrossed in my work and what I'm doing, and I know people listening, I know a lot of them are in the same boat. Maybe they have back-to-back meetings and things like that. And I feel like this is kind of that self-sabotage that you talk about, what you work with your clients on. So I just wanted to role play a scenario for you to help us think us through. And you've given us so many great tips on this already. But like, say it's a day or a week where you have a lot of meetings and a lot of big projects, and you're chained to your computer for one mm-hmm. reason or another. But you do have like a 15-minute break. You know, you've talked about like whatever break, whatever movement you can have, like just to focus on getting that movement. But what should we do? Like, what would you recommend prioritizing to that person or me who is really busy, but you're like, okay, I have this like break of time. Like, what should I prioritize?
Yeah, I mean, if you're legitimately like, I have 15 minutes in between my back-to-back-to-back meeting and then 15 minutes and then back-to-back-to-back meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say breathing, the breathing that I just did, I would say I would lay you on your back and do deep breathing like that for like 10 minutes. And then, because again, if you're talking also, especially sitting, you're sitting, and then you have a little break and then you're sitting. So that would be it. I would go like really do some deep breathing drills to activate the core and the diaphragm, or again, just walking, specifically if I can get outside, because there's something to be said about getting sunlight and getting fresh air as well. That is very healthy for our body. So I would love if, you know, in a 15-minute break, you could go walk around the block or something like that.
Okay.
Or just do some deep breathing, right? And again, the simplest thing in the world, walk and breathe. Like that's like literally that literally is the answer, right? It's like people want to hear like, oh, should I do this 15-minute like high intensity blah blah blah. It's like, nope, just lay down and breathe. And you know, if and obviously the great thing is you can have both of those in your toolbox, and you can see what kind of mood am I in today. Am I really tuned up and like stress wise and like running on high anxiety right now. Maybe the breathing is going to bring me back down to earth, right? Maybe again, I've just been inside. I got to work. Maybe it's, you know, here in the Northeast, at least, you know, I get to work sometimes and the sun hasn't even come out yet. And then my first break might be, you know, at noon or something like that. Maybe it would be good for me to go get some sunlight and maybe get some fresh air because I've been sitting inside all day. So it's not like one or the other. It's not a right or wrong thing. I look at everything as just tools in your toolbox. And that's what I want to equip people with, is the most tools so that they can make the conscious decision for themselves. This is not about, there is no one right answer. There's no one size fits all. If there was, then I would have just said, do this, everyone do this, everyone listening to do this, mm-hmm. and then I would have solved the problem of obesity in one, you know, quick soundbite, mm-hmm. and of back pain and of everything else and of health, right? But that's not how the human body works. That's not how the human brain works. What you enjoy, what you like, what feels good for you, what your body needs is different than everyone else listening. So, you know, just to think of it as there's not one right thing, but to think of it as, okay, there's a lot of different options that I have. And again, I think that that's good because that's freeing. Right? It's not, okay, what should I do in 15 minutes? It's okay, in 15 minutes, I can go for a walk. I could do some breathing. I could do a 5-minute yoga flow. I could do a 10-minute Zumba. And like now I have options. And now my brain, the human brain, which likes, you know, it doesn't like to be told what to do. It's like, I don't, right? Like going back to the example I used before of like, you have to do CrossFit or you have to only work out 3 times a week for 45 minutes. Like you said, you're like, well, I don't have the time and I don't want to do that. So it's like, now I'm going to buck that. But if I have all these different options and I can find what works for me in that exact moment, there's a much higher chance of me actually doing that thing.
Great. Okay, so Paul, this is great tips. And I know you have a program as well called the 3B program. Like, what does that program cover?
Right. So it's actually called the 3B solution, which is brain, body, and being, because this is everything that I help my clients with. So brain being the mindset, because everything that we're talking about starts within, right? As I keep going back to, I can give you all the answers, and yet most people won't do it. most people are going to hear like, oh yeah, breathing stuff sounds good and never think about it again. Most people are going to say like, oh yeah, set an alarm on my phone to go for a walk. Sounds smart. And they're never going to do it again. Right. So how can we get around these common roadblocks, things like self-sabotage, things like perfectionism, things like, all or nothing, black or white thinking, right? Those are the types of people who go like, well, I know I'm supposed to work out 5 days a week for an hour. And then I can only work out this week, 4 days a week for an hour. So I'm not going to work out at all. Right. And like, these are the common human things that hold people back. So that's one part. And then the body is the actual tactical. What are we eating? What are we doing? What's our movement? How are we actually getting the most out of this small amount of time? Because let's be real, if someone has 5 days a week to go to the gym for an hour, they're probably doing all right. They're probably, even if they're there doing the worst workout ever, they're probably healthier than most people who are not going at all. So how do we get you to be the person who's actually moving 5 days a week? And not just trying to, again, fit you into the box. And then being is what I call community and the soul and just the whole picture of being a human and kind of putting this all together into one package. And that's what I help my clients with.
Oh, that's amazing. And how long does that package last? Like if someone listening is like, I'm really interested in the 3B solution with you, how long does a program like that take?
Right. It's a 12 week program because as I just said, there's a lot in there. And even that, don't get me wrong. This is not, we're dealing with deeply held beliefs and we're restructuring your entire life at times. So for some people, it's just a jumping off point. For some people, it's everything that they need, but the way I look at it is if nothing else, if you do go through these 12 weeks, you will be better equipped as a human to go through the rest of your life, both physically and mentally. You'll be equipped with the tools to feel better, live better, and just be happier and healthier for the rest of your life.
Oh, interesting. Where does somebody go and look online or contact you if they want to talk about that program further?
The best place to find me is on Facebook and Instagram. It's just at my name, Paul Levitin. And I also have a free Facebook community called the Healthy Happy Human Academy, where I do live trainings and I share free information every week. I do at least one free live training a week on there. And it's just a great community of people all looking to learn more about this stuff. So anyone who joins that community, I'll accept you and you can just get free trainings there. And then you can just reach out to me directly if this is something that you want to learn more about the actual programs that I have.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, we're almost ready to wrap up here. But before we wrap up, what would you say is like one thing? You've covered so many amazing things here, but one thing you want my listeners to do after listening to this episode?
Just get up and move.
<That's it. laughs> I love
get
that.
Up. This is it. This is, if you're waiting for a sign, this is your sign. Get up and go for a walk.
That's beautiful. It's simple but complex, right? In a way, like what we just talked about. So thank you so much for coming on. This was really eye-opening. And I hope for everyone listening, it's a great reminder you don't have to boil the ocean. Like little drips of water are going to fill it eventually, right? And so this daily movement practice, like you're talking about, Paul, I think is incredibly insightful for us. And just to think about how we get more daily movement, how we feel our best, because like I talk about on this show, everyone listening, is if you feel your best, you're going to do your best. You're going to be more creative. You're going to be happier, healthier in your work and with your families and just in your life. So this was fantastic. You definitely made me think differently about some things, Paul.
That's awesome. And I just want to say that exactly like you just said, this is why I'm so passionate about this stuff. And this is why, as I said in the beginning, when I introduced myself, why I went away from purely being about fitness, because this is not about, again, losing weight to look in like some societal standard of what beauty is, or to have arms so that I can like look cool on the beach. This is about what you just said, that fact that, a rising tide raises all ships. And if you are a better version of you, you will be able to show up more powerfully for your family and your children. You will be able to have more energy. You will close more sales. You will create better products for your customers. Everything about your life will be better when you are a better version of you, right? It's the whole analogy of secure your mask, right? You can't pour from an empty cup. You can't perform for others when you won't perform for yourself. So a lot of people think of this like selfish, right? Oh, well, I can't possibly schedule even 5 minutes to get up from my desk because I need to get my thing done. But you will be better if you take the time for yourself to focus on your health, your energy, your wellness, that will come back around full circle and you will get more work done. You'll have more energy. You'll be able to have more focus. You'll be able to pay more attention from doing that. So don't think of it as like taking away. Think of it as investing in yourself and becoming a better version of you who then gets to be better in every other area of your life.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that's a great place to end it. So thanks, Paul, so much for coming on the show today. It's been very insightful.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, folks, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Kindred Speakers.
High fives for finishing another episode. When faced with an obstacle, you're the type of person who gets better instead of bitter. I hope you feel creatively inspired and invite you to check back often for more goodness from me and my guest. If you want more actionable advice and inspiration, head over to kindredspeak.com for show notes, all discount codes from today's episode, and to sign up for my newsletter. Subscribe now to the Marketing with Empathy podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcast. And if you'd be so kind, will you please leave me a review? This helps my podcast get noticed by others. Keep smiling.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.